Thank you, worship team, and good morning. Forest Hills, good to be with you. I'm going to invite you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Hosea. These small, hence they're called minor prophets at the end of the Old Testament, kind of ethnic books. Hosea, a Mexican guy, and Malachi, the Italian guy that ends the Bible. Actually, I feel badly that the minor prophets are often neglected. Listen to this verse from Romans 15:4. God says that everything that was written previously, it's referring about the Scriptures, was written for our learning, that we through the comfort and the example of the Scriptures might have hope. And this morning we do want to look at the love story of Hosea. I will mention next week in the worship services, our subject will be about heaven. Specifically, would Tom Sawyer want to go there? And if you aren't a part already of an adult Bible fellowship class, I'm going to do at 10:15 in the Discovery classroom, in the balcony, in the gymnasium, just a one standalone session on loving God with your unique spiritual temperaments. God has made us differently, and we all need to relate to God through the Word of God, inscripturated the Bible, the Word of God incarnate, Jesus, but we relate to God differently. I'd love to have you join us for that single session next week. Well, I'm going to suggest to you that a theme verse that sums up this book is found in Hosea 14, verse 4. God says, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. Now, the book of Hosea is actual history of what Hosea and his wife Gomer went through, but gives to us also a spiritual analogy, a lesson for us to learn about his great love. They'd been married for 40 years, and as they were driving along, she was kind of reflecting how that, you know, husband, when we were first engaged, we'd stop at a stop sign and you'd give me a kiss. And when we were first married, we'd always sit right next to each other and you'd have your arm around me. And she went on for a while and said, and now you're over there driving and I'm over here by the window. And finally he had enough. He said, honey, who moved? Who moved? Now, they probably had bucket seats at this point, but sometimes we are tempted to say to God, God, I remember how you felt so real to me in worship times, or maybe when I first became a Christian, I was so burdened about other people that don't know the gospel, or how I was so sensitive to sin, and we're tempted to say, and Lord, it's like I don't feel that much anymore. And God is maybe saying to us, but who moved? It wasn't He. The Bible says He is the Lord. He does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I want to suggest to you that sometimes God removes the feelings of His presence so that we will walk by faith and not by sight. Does that make sense? That sometimes the joy that of the Lord that is our strength, or the other assurances of His presence that He gives us, He sometimes removes so that we don't live by feelings. But as the Scripture says, we walk by faith and not by sight. So Spurgeon, the preacher, said that the absence of God's feelings is no evidence of the absence of God's presence, because He's with us regardless. I have written in my Bible, don't doubt in the dark what you trusted in the light. Peaches and cream, things going well, feed fat, not faith. We often go through the dark night of the soul in order to experience a loyalty to God that isn't propped up just by our feelings. Well, Hosea chapter 3, I'm going to have us read. It is a small chapter that really summarizes the entire story. The first two verses give us the history, and then we have a lesson in verse 4. I'm reading from Hosea chapter 3. The Lord said to me, go. Show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. Now, I should comment that the name Hosea actually means salvation or deliverance. But the people of God in Hosea's time had gotten so caught up, the Israelites had gotten so caught up in the fine things of their society, reflected by the raisin cakes, the Dunkin' Donuts of their day, that they even would take them to their temples, to Asherah and Baal and demon gods, and use them in their worship. Well, Gomer's wife is gone. She's living in sin away from him. Verse 2. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about an omer and a lethek of barley. Okay, 15 pieces of silver, not a great price, and about 10 bushels of barley. Verse 3. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you. And then verse 4, we have the application. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod. Now, those were good things. Those are things that God gave to the people to lead them and to help them to worship. But God's going to strip them from His backslidden people. But He's also going to strip them from the next thing, or idol, that they were refusing to worship the invisible, eternal, unseen God, and now they're worshiping idols. Verse 5, afterward the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to His blessings in the last days. And then I'm going to ask you to turn over to Hosea chapter 14, please. And just the first four verses of Hosea 14, I'll read without comment. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you. Return to the Lord. Say to Him, forgive all our sins. Receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say, our gods, to what our hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion. Let me just comment that the word compassion is also a name in this book of Hosea, Ruhamah. It was the name of Hosea's daughter by Gomer, and it means loved or compassion. And again, I'm going to suggest the book is summed up in verse 4. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger is turned away from them. I've put on the back table a bunch of copies of a little thing that's helped many people to understand how God loves us. It's entitled, Because God Loves Me. And it says, because God loves me, He's slow to lose patience with me. Because God loves me, He takes the circumstances of my life, uses them in a constructive way. Because God loves me, He does not treat me as an object to be possessed and manipulated. And lots of other encouraging statements that I would encourage you to pick up. Well, God said to Hosea, love your wife Gomer as the Lord loves the Israelites. Now, some of you younger kids, you probably need to ask mom and dad a little bit, what was Pastor Jim talking about with Gomer being immoral or whatever? And you can explain what God intends for marriage, that it be one man and one woman exclusively together for all time, and that this is a picture of God's love for His people. But we're going to end up by seeing that whenever God's people are willing to confess and repent of sin, that it does bring blessing. What I'm going to do is tell you the story in what we call expositive drama narrative. It means that I studied the book just like I would for a regular verse-by-verse study, but then I put it in story form. And I don't do this for entertainment. I do it for exhortation. Sometimes I do it in costume, sometimes not. But I want you to forget the storyteller. I want you to remember the story. This script was originally written by a professor from Dallas, Dr. John Reed, and I've simply cut it down in size and modified it a little bit. We call it The Love Story of Hosea. I have been called the prophet of the broken heart, but I would rather be remembered as the prophet of love and hope. I am Hosea, prophet to Israel, or as you know us, the northern kingdom. And on this kind of rainy West Michigan morning, could I have you in your imagination journey with me to my home? And could I introduce you to Gomer, my wife? If you could picture Gomer there, you see her as I see her, and I love her with all my heart. Beside her is our son, Jezreel. He's about 18 now, handsome and strong, a young man with a heart for God, and my own heart is full as I look at the two of them. And beside him, his sister, Ruhama, a teenage reflection of her mother's beauty. And finally, our youngest, Ami, our son. We are happy and we are at peace, but it's not always been that way. I began my ministry as a prophet of God to Israel as a young man. I preached that we had slipped far from our loyalty to Yahweh who made the heavens and the earth. But I was little heeded and generally not listened to. You see, my country is in a prosperous time. The caravans that pass from Egypt in the south to Assyria in the north and Assyria back to Egypt, they pass through our lands and they bring their goods and they bring their gods. Oh, we're in a wealthy condition right now, but altars that were made for sin offerings have now become places of sinning. Recently, our next door neighbor sacrificed their infant son to the god Baal. At night, I will hear the beat of the priest of Baal's drums and the laughter of the sacred prostitutes. And the truth is, my beautiful land is just a few short years from being crushed under the Assyrian military machine. Our present king is Hoshea. He's weak, he's a drunkard, a glutton. Politically, he flirts between Egypt and Assyria. And some think that our strength will be a military alliance. But we must come to the place where we say Assyria will not save us, but that we will trust in the Lord our God. And so I preached sermons of fire, but as I said, was little heeded and generally scorned. I felt lonely and in need of the companion. One day I went with my honored father, Beery, to the home of Dibliam, a family friend of my father. And there I again saw Gomer, the daughter. Now, I had visited as a child, and I remembered Gomer as a child. She was a cute but somewhat spoiled child, but now Gomer was a hauntingly beautiful woman. And I tried to pretend that I was listening to my father and her father's conversation, but in my heart I was thinking about Gomer. And as I walked home one day from their home, my father astounded me with a proposal that he desired that I marry Gomer. I did not question in my heart that I loved her, but something troubled me about her. She seemed more experienced in the ways of the world than a young Israelite woman should be. She had an excessive love for the fine jewelry and the cosmetics and the raisin cakes and the finery of our culture, and yet I chalked them up to the culture in which she was raised. I knew that sometimes even when men had not been faithful to God, there were women that followed Him faithfully. And so I sought God with the possibility of her being my life companion. And He assured me that it was His will that I should marry Gomer as well. I flooded her with the words of passion of a prophet, and she responded to my invitation. We stood together underneath the Hebrew marriage canopy, and we heard the reading of God's Word, that we, one man and one woman, would form not just a contract, but a covenant that would be a picture of God's love for His earthly people, Israel, and for His people of all time. I took Gomer to my humble home. We read together the Song of Solomon, and we ate of its sweet garden of love. And I faced the future with hope. Shortly after 1 year of our marriage, Gomer presented me with a child. I sought God's face and learned that he was to be named Jezreel. That was a troublesome name and disturbed me deeply, for Jezreel means judgment is coming. After the birth of Jezreel, Gomer would often nurse him and leave him at home with me and be gone for the entire night. I would plead with her to come back to her husband and son, but she spurned my pleadings. And about a year later, she presented me with a daughter. In seeking God's face, I learned that God would have me call her Lo Ruhama. Ruhama means compassion or love, but Lo Ruhama means not loved. And again, about a year later, Ami was born. In seeking God's face, God said, call him Lo Ami, which means not my people. I came to understand in my heart that Ruhama and Ami were not the fruit of my love, and now Gomer was gone completely. But I couldn't forget her or give her up. I sought her throughout the ramshackle homes of Samaria and found her living with an irresponsible lover. I pleaded with her to return. She did not respond to my invitations. And so time passed. But in my heart, I could not forget Gomer. I sought out her lover in private. He was suspicious and belligerent, thinking that I had come to do him harm. But I gave to him the beautiful cosmetics, the clothing, the jewelry, the raisin cakes that she so loved, and I would allow her to think they came from him. My love for Gomer had to be displayed somehow. I must confess that I hid back in the bushes as I watched him give them to Gomer outside their place. And then she went in the home. And after what seemed like hours, she came back radiant in splendor, like the young Gomer I remembered. Her boyfriend went to embrace her, but she held him off and said, "No. Surely such valuable things as this didn't simply come from you." I strained to hear. "But they came from the God Baal, who gives such valuable things." And then she said, "I have resolved to express my gratitude to Baal by being a priestess in the high place." I went home to nights of weeping and days of praying. My honored father and mother helped me with the care of the children. They became the balm of Gilead of my soul. But days turned to weeks, and weeks to months, and months to years. And the priest of Baal held Gomer in their sordid, perverted, wicked worship. She eagerly prostituted herself to the wanton wishes of the worshipers of that sordid deity. And time continued. But never was Gomer far from my thinking. And never was I without the consciousness of her rebellion and the pain that it brought all involved. One day, in the midst of my morning hour of meditation, I wandered among the people of Samaria, and I found myself in the slave market. It was a place I hated. I saw a man in the robe of a priest of Baal lead a woman to the slave block. Stark naked she was, but no man stared in lust. She was broken, haggard, thin as a wisp of smoke. In her hair streaks of gray, and in her eye was the flash of madness. And I wept. Then, gently, God's Spirit moved me to buy Gomer. I bid the shekels of silver and the barley, and the auctioneer brought the hammer down. The people parted. As I mounted the slave block, they leaned forward in anticipation. Surely I would kill my property, Gomer, for what she had done to me. But in my heart, love flowed. "Bring that white robe on the end of the rack," I said. I paid the merchant the price that he asked. Then gently, I drew it around Gomer's skinny, emaciated body. And I said, "Gomer, no longer will you act as a prostitute. I will take you to our home, and you shall be confined for a while, but you shall be restored to your children, to your husband, and to your God." She fainting fell into my arms, and with my frail burden of love, I preached once again to Israel. And I said, "God has said that the day is coming that He will strip you of all your finery and the things that you love more than Him. He will take from you prophets and priests, but He will also take from you your idols. And the day will come that you will no longer be called Jezreel, for God's judgment will be placed on another. You will not be called Lo Ruhamah, but Ruhamah, loved. It will not be said of you, Lo Ami, you are not my people, but God will say to you, Ami, my people." I took my frail burden of love home, and again reintroduced them to Jezreel, Ruhamah, and Ami. And then Gomer and I began to read the Psalms of David. We read the penitential Psalms, which means Psalms of crying out forgiveness. We read Psalm 32, "Oh, the joy of the one whose sin is covered, whose transgression is forgiven." We read David's cry where he said, "Wash me and I shall be clean. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And in the midst of psalms of repentance and tears of guilt, Gomer confessed and repented. And then we read David's joyful psalms of restoration, of the joy of following the Lord. I do want you to know that Gomer does not call me her master, but her husband. And the name of Baal has never again been on her lips. And I, the preacher of Israel, have come to understand in a new way how greatly God loves us. How true it is that whoever conceals or covers his or her sin will not prosper or do well, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy. I have come to understand that God loves us freely and that His anger is turned away from us. God has put it on the sacrifice, the Lamb of Atonement for our sin. Now, Forest Hills, if I were doing this at a banquet or something, I would just simply say, we are all God's Gomers, but He is our great Hosea. And I want to reemphasize to you that God's holy love is never ending. When the Bible says His mercy endures forever, it's a term that could apply to a laser that shoots out into space and it just never can, you can't see the end of it. It just continues to go. His mercy literally endures until the vanishing point forever. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you know what it is to fail and be conscious of your failures and to have the evil one accuse you. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For we are God's Gomers, and He is our great Hosea. Let's bow our hearts together before the Lord. And if you've never received the gift to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to be saved. But Christian, would you just right now thank God that His merciful kindness, His ruhamah, His love endures forever. Would you thank Him right now? We are grateful, Father. We pray that You'd help us to be a reflection of that love to others. In Jesus' name, amen.